Well, again, I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate this house. I ask for you to pray for the needs on the cross, for the needs that we receive from near and far that are asking for prayer. We're not in this building just to get together and have a little club and a little organization. We're here to serve the King of Kings and to serve his kingdom and to serve those to whom he leads us to. And one of those ways of serving is prayer. I do want to remind you in passing that over 25 Coptic Christians were killed in Egypt during their worship service this Sunday morning. And we need to pray for those that were also injured and that have lost lives. Things have not gotten better as people would want you to believe. Things are much worse and will continue to spiral out of control until the Prince of Peace comes. But would you do that today? Remember your brothers and sisters in Egypt. I've been to Egypt. I've been to Coptic Church. I understand the plight of the Christian over there. They're wonderful people, and they love God, but they're surrounded by terrorists. They're surrounded by people who hate them. And for those of you who believe the Muslim Brotherhood is dead in Egypt, you don't know the Bible. You don't understand end times. You don't understand what's going to come to Egypt in the near days. And so do pray for them. Amen? I want to give you a word the Lord spoke to me this morning as I was preparing to spend time with him in prayer and getting ready to be with you. By the way, I love you so much. I appreciate everybody in here. I appreciate everybody that's listening today through various media platforms. And I want to say this publicly. Thank you so much for all the kind comments that we receive, the love, the support, the prayers. It overwhelms Jennifer and I when we read the comments from those who take time to say something to us or send a letter and just tell us things that just really bless our hearts. So I just wanted to thank everybody. And, of course, Ignited, you guys are awesome. Here's the word of the Lord. He said, America, you have been blinded by deception. You have cast off all restraints, believing this is your jubilee, your time to celebrate. But I warn you with the strongest of tones, your jubilee has ended. Now you reside in the danger zone of my judgment. The plans of your enemies has been hatched. It has been given life by the lies you live. You have forsaken truth. Now deception is your reality. You are dancing in the dark, not knowing you rejoice over a pit and a snare. But you won't believe my prophets until your day of despair. Come unto me, those that have ears and a humble, willing heart. I am your shelter. I am your provision. I am your peace. I am the grace you will need to survive the coming days. Don't be fooled. I will not be mocked. What a man sows, he shall surely reap. It's a very strong words from the Father this morning, and I believe the message I have today will probably be one of the strongest messages that I will release to this church and release to those that are listening to me. I mentioned that to my wife this morning, and she said they're always strong. I said, well, keep praying anyways, because I looked at her over breakfast and I said, please pray for me today. It's going to be a very strong word. I'm going to say some things that may anger some people. That's a shock. But at the end of the day, in the end of the message, I believe it's going to encourage you and the remnant and the watchmen and bring us to a place of clarity that we so desperately need. As I mentioned to you, my conversation with this particular leader in the body of Christ, one of the things that came out in the conversation, in fact, I mentioned it in one of our services, I believe the church has become bipolar. I believe the church has become very bipolar, confused in this hour. We have a whole lot of heyday and celebration taking place in this nation and especially within the church, but we have no idea the danger zone that we currently are in. And I've been given this opportunity and mandate to speak these things. And I'm glad. I don't want to do anything else other than just obey the Father. So I'm going to be a little, it's going to be a little harsh, but it's also going to be kind of different in the way, in a way, because the Father speaks to us all in different ways, doesn't he? He doesn't speak to me the same as he does you, and you the same as me and your neighbor. And we have unique relationships with God, which I find very awesome. I receive all kinds of revelations from different places, and I enjoy, and I look and I see. And everything is just different, and I appreciate that. The diversity in the body is real, isn't it? And it's wonderful. When I woke up this morning, I heard the words to a song. And I'm going to give you this whole detail. I'm going to lay it all out for you. But I heard these words. I heard, "You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire, even if we're dancing in the dark." Now, let me just give you a little background. Yeah, that was Bruce Springsteen. I see people holding lighters up. Yeah, Bruce. First of all, I don't support Bruce. I'm not asking you to go buy an album or anything like that. In fact, he's a huge Hillary supporter. But the fact is, the Lord speaks to us in different ways. And I had no intentions of waking up saying, "I want to hear Bruce Springsteen." I was headed to the banyo. Let's be honest, I just woke up. I'm going to the bathroom, and the first things I hear in my mind, in my spirit, is, "You can't start a fire without a spark. These guns for hire, even if we're dancing in the dark." And I knew it was the Holy Spirit because of what I'm going to preach to you. Some of y'all just turn me off just now. Don't even believe that God can talk to you in such ways, but he does. Bruce Springsteen, if you look at it, that was a 1984 album. Does 1984 ring a bell to anybody? How about George Orwell's book about Big Brother and state government and all the tyrannical things that would take place as he prophesied really from this book that was written? Man, I don't remember when it was written, back in I think 40s or 50s or something. But anyways, the point was, this was the song, this was the year, and the album was Born in the USA. Now, there are several interpretations of the song. If you go back in history, you'll find that it was an argument between him and his producer. He needed a single hit. He wrote this song. If you look at the Urban Dictionary, it talks about intercourse and different things of that nature. Both of them are not what God is trying to tell us today, even though we do have an epidemic of dancing in the dark. Is anybody here? The understanding is this. There's never a fire without a spark. There's a spark in this nation that has caused a fire underneath us that is burning at the very foundation of our country that will soon consume the Constitution that we cherish. I believe that we're about to witness a constitutional crisis. And I'm not new to this word. So if you think that I've just jumped on the bandwagon because news reports came out and then I prophesy, we've been talking about this for a long time. And we declared in 2015 that 16 would be a year we would not recognize this nation as a democracy. So I have to say that to those who do not know this ministry. Then it says, this guns are for hire. I believe that behind closed doors, there are deals that have been made. There's agreements that have been made with hired guns to do the damage that's going to be done to this nation, not only in the natural, in the evidential realm of politics, but also in the realm of warfare, carnage and crisis and false flags to this nation. And then finally, the last part of this song is, even if we're dancing in the dark. You heard in the beginning of the word that God said that we're dancing in the dark over a pit and over a snare. We have no idea what's going on around us as a nation. We're just so deceived by the popularity of a president-elect. We're so deceived by the economy that seems to be bursting at the seams. We're so deceived when we think that everything is cool and calm with the terrorist threats and cool and calm with our enemies, and everything's just wonderful because of a vote. Well, you and I both know that is not so. And then on Friday, we hear our president, President Barack Hussein Obama, say that he is now investigating the potential hacking of Russia on our election. By the way, if you think it's potential, you've already missed the boat, because they've already said it is so. The conflict in the coming days that we've already discussed and prophesied a while back. But yet people will still listen to this message and have the normalcy bias and say, no, it's impossible that this could happen in our country because we are the good old United States of America. Let me say this in the beginning. I love my nation. I love America. I love being American. I've traveled over 17 nations of the world. I've tasted their food and seen their culture. I've seen their militaries. I've seen their life that they lived. And what I mean by military is when you go to an airport and they have M16s and machine guns everywhere and heavy armored vehicles out front and all these things, and you basically look like you land in a military airport, you're not in America anymore. You're not in Kansas. And so you begin to see a different taste to it. And those of you who've traveled to those countries, you could say a big amen. And so I appreciate America. I love America. I have no axe to grind. I have nothing in negativity to say to the country that I've been born in, except to what we have become. Now I have something to say, and I have to say it under divine inspiration through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But as the Lord downloaded this to me, and again, I got that song that was in my heart, and that's so funny. The Father's so funny. He's an awesome God, and He loves us with an everlasting love, and He wants this message broadcast to the nations of the world, and especially here in America. So as He gave me this, I said, okay, you know, what are we going to preach from? Before I can even get that question out, Jeremiah chapter 22. 22. I know somebody's just thinking, man, he's fooling, man. He's got all this stuff laid out. Honestly, I do not. I don't even own. All my stuff on my phone is worship. Amen? So I have no idea. But I know one thing. We're in the midst of some very dangerous times. And I'm going to preach. Jeremiah chapter 22. Are you there yet? You ought to have a bookmark. Just keep your tithe and offering right there or something. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. So now God's got an issue with the king of Judah that he's no longer going to use email. He's no longer going to use text messaging. He's no longer going to use carrier. He's no longer going to use FedEx. He's no longer going to use a pigeon. God says, I want you, Jeremiah, to go down to the king. I believe we're in this season and the situation where the true remnant of God need to stand up and lift their voice and look straight at the face of the king and say, King, I got a word for you from heaven. I didn't come for a selfie. I didn't come for an autograph. I didn't come for a position, but I came to tell you, thus saith the Lord. I believe if we have done this in the past, we wouldn't have so much trouble that we're in with God. We wouldn't have the bloodshed that we have in our nation, and we surely wouldn't be looking down the double barrels of prophecy. But we're looking at judgment because we can't find anybody to take a word and go to the king face to face. So God says, I'm changing tactics and I'm changing the way I'm going to do this. I have a different strategy for the end time. And Jeremiah, I want you to go see the king face to face. Now, it's one thing to preach to a bunch of people, to a camera, or to preach to yourself in your room. But it's a whole nother thing to stand before a king who's in his hands is your life. But God said, Jeremiah, I want you to go down there. I love Jeremiah. I love Jeremiah because God could trust Jeremiah with a word. God could trust Jeremiah with a thus saith the Lord. I wonder if he can find any Jeremiahs today. I wonder in these crystal cathedrals of multi-million dollar mega churches, I wonder if God can still find a Jeremiah that will look at a camera and point their finger and declare and decree, thus saith the Lord, to a crooked nation and to crooked politicians. I wonder. But as I scan across Christian television, I can't find too many that have a backbone that are willing to declare the word of the Lord. They would rather fleece you for your money and make their homes larger and their lifestyle more grander. Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. I want you to notice it's not any word, it's this word. We are living in an hour that we must preach this word. We're living in a day and a time of danger that we must preach this word. The word of the Lord, the word of God, not the word of prosperity, not the word of this is your best day, not the word of happy days, not the word of good this and good that and great this and great that, but we must preach the word of the Lord, this word. You see, right now being preached in America is another gospel. They're preaching about another Jesus. They're preaching about a Jesus that fits your culture and your lifestyle and the conscience of your mind that is being soothed every single time you walk into the house of God. In order for you to continue to give your money, in order for you to continue to pad the pockets of these who are preaching a false gospel, they are lying and deceiving the church of Jesus Christ. They're using deception and manipulation to bring you to the altar of Baal. I wish I had somebody to help me today because I'm full of the Holy Ghost and fire. I said, I'm full of the Holy Ghost and fire. I didn't come in here with another spirit. I came in here with the Holy Spirit to tell America you're living in sin and to tell the priest and the preacher that you're living in sin and you must preach this gospel, this word. See, Paul had to fight against another gospel, Brother Mike. He had to fight against another Jesus that was being brought into the church. And we have another Jesus right before us. Who is this Jesus? Well, this is the Jesus that brings appeasement to an angry old God. And if you think I've lost my mind, you need to watch some Christian television and find out and see and read some modern books where you will discover that they're preaching a gospel that talks about God being the old ogre and Jesus leading us into a new way and that Jesus came to make God okay. Let me tell you something, God and Jesus, they are one. There's no division whatsoever. The message was the same in the beginning. It will be the message the same in the end. And we must preach that message to a dying, sighing, lost humanity. It's still Jesus Christ of Nazareth in his shed blood. It is still Abba Father who loves us so much that he gave us his son. How could he be so bad and such an ogre if he's the one, according to John 3:16, that gave his only begotten son and loved the world so much to do so? I argue with you today, you theologian of doctrines of devils who are lying to the children of God that God is a bad God and that we can use Jesus to manipulate our lifestyle, to have our conscience soothed so that we can sin and be in lasciviousness, and yet come in the house of God and lift hands as though all is well, when God says, I reject your worship. Well, I'm gonna get some letters today. That's my aim today. My aim is to make some folk mad today. Because I'm going to tell you something. There is no other message than the message of the cross. There is no other gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other way man can be saved. There is no other foundation, no other doctrine of truth than the salvation that comes through the blood of the Lamb and the righteousness that is included. It's called holiness. Are you still in Jeremiah? Thus saith the Lord. This is verse 1. I got a long way to go. Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. And say, hear the word of the Lord. I want you to see this for a second, if I'm going to digress just a little bit into to some teaching. But the word hear is in the Hebrew called shema. Shema, you find in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. I taught it on deception last week in our Wednesday teaching. But shema is used in the way of having attentive hearing. You are being arrested by what is being said, and you have to obey what is being said. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, what happened? Adam and Eve heard God walking in the garden. They heard the voice of God, and they were paralyzed by the truth of what they heard. Watch this now. And say, hear the word of the Lord. What God told Jeremiah was this: I'm not bringing you a suggestion. I'm not bringing you an option of rejection. I am telling you, you better listen with obeying ears. You better hear what I have to say, because what I'm saying to you is coming from the throne of God, and I have no guile within me. I have no card up my sleeve. I have no agenda. I have no reasoning behind this other than to tell you, King, listen to the word of the Lord. But you hear most preachers today, and they preach as though the Ten Commandments are the Ten Suggestions. They preach as though holiness is an option. Honey, holiness is not an option. Holiness is a commandment. You be holy like I'm holy. If you're holy on the inside, you'll be holy on the outside. That's just the way it works. If your mind is holy, then you think holy thoughts, and then your actions become holy. Holiness has nothing to do with what you wear. Holiness has everything to do with who he is in you and the maturity level of him inside of you. Let be Christ formed within you. Some of y'all are going to hear it. You're going to have to study that out. Let Christ be formed in you. In other words, I am discipled, and I come into maturity to the place where I don't want to sin. I don't want to walk in unrighteousness. I don't want to see things. I don't want to hear things. I don't want to touch things. I don't want to taste things. I don't want to get around anything that's unrighteous and unclean, because holiness dwells inside of me. That's holiness. Woo, glory to God. If we can just get some mature believers in the house, some mature believers in the church, come on, there you wouldn't be caught up in your sin. You wouldn't be caught up in your lasciviousness and adultery and your thoughts of fornication and all these things that ravish the mind like a scarlet fever. Come on, somebody better help me today. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that Paul preached, the Christ that Paul preached, that is the answer for this nation today. Not some other gospel. Not a Jesus that understands your homosexuality. Not a Jesus that understands, come on somebody, your addiction. Listen to me now. I'm not talking about in the form of struggle. I'm talking about in the form of appeasement. Listen to me. You know what I'm talking about. Because there's churches that preach and they will counsel and say, well, God understands your sin. God understands your adultery. God understands your pornography and your addiction. Yeah, God understands that, but he also understands that the wages of sin is death. And if you hold on to this pet rattlesnake, one day that snake will bite you. And when that snake bites you, there is no recovery. Dangerous, dangerous day we're living in when we allow people to walk in sin and live in sin and never preach about the unrighteousness of that sin and the very, very wages of it. Very dangerous day we're living in. And today people will listen to me and say, well, he has no compassion. He has no desire to see anybody recovered and to be restored. No, you've taken the words and twisted them like your father, the devil, has taught you. I believe in restoration. I believe a man can be lost and be found by the grace of God and be restored completely from all of his addictions, whatever they may be. You say, how do you know? I'm living proof. I know where I came from. This is not a holiness church with a bunch of holy rollers who don't know where they came from. Everybody in this room is a sinner saved by grace, who's now a saint of God. So you can't ever point a finger at this church. This house loves everybody. We accept everybody, but you can't stay like you are. Come on. You can't stay in your sin. You can't stay in your sickness. You can't stay in your poverty. You can't stay in the world of carnality, because when you get into the presence of God, something supernatural happens. Come on. It's like a phone booth that does something for Clark Kent. It'll turn you into a superman or a superwoman, and your life is changed, and there ought to be fruit that you've been changed. Somebody ought to say something about you that's different. Somebody ought to see the goodness of God and the power of Jesus Christ in your life. There ought to be some fruit and less flakes and less nuts. Some of y'all catch on the ride home. He said, I want you to go down there, Jeremiah. Are you still with me? Because we're going to be here a long time. Somebody better go get some chicken. Get you a bucket of chicken. And say, hear the word of the Lord. Jeremiah had a word burning up in his bones. And God said, Jeremiah, I'm tired of the messengers polluting and diluting what I say. Isn't that a shame that God has all these mega preachers up on television and mega ministries and all these big, giant, multi-million dollar buildings, and he's got to trust this word and this sure word and this prophetic word to a bunch of folks on YouTube? It got real quiet here in this Pentecostal church. YouTube. Some of the most profound words and preaching and prophesying that you're hearing is coming out of YouTube. Jesus is coming. YouTube and blogs, and you can't find, and you sending money to all these big shots. And God says, I want you to go to the king, and they won't go to the king because they're polluting and diluting, and they're pushing the word that is false instead of thus saith the Lord, because they're afraid of the opinions of people, and they're afraid that they won't give no money. Do I have anybody that loves me today? This close to Christmas, you ought to say yay. Because I'm telling you something, we're in an hour when we can't find those that are willing to declare the word of God and say what must be said because they're afraid of offending people. Let me tell you something, this gospel will offend you. Listen, not just a preacher, but if you're living in sin and you read that Bible and that Bible's a mirror to you and it tells you you are doing wrong, that's offensive. And Jesus said offenses will come. You need to be offended today. Those listening to me on various media platforms, you ought to be offended today if you're living in sin. About time somebody told you you're living in sin. About time somebody told you there's an antidote for your sickness. There's a healing balm out of Gilead. His name is Jesus, and it's the blood of the Lamb. You can be free of your addiction. You can be free of the pornography that you're listening to and watching and participating in. You can be free. But we can't find preachers to tell the truth. Well, I don't want to offend the brother. So he dies and goes to hell and on a motorcycle accident, leaving church because you won't declare it. Verse 2. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O King of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David. Listen to what Jeremiah is saying. He said, I want you to hear this Shema. I want you to hear this with attentive ears, because you are sitting upon the throne of David. In other words, you have been given what David had, and you're losing it. Thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in these by these gates, thus saith the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. God says, I got a promise for you, America. If you would just do these things, if you would just do the right things. Verse 4, for if you do this thing indeed, Then there shall enter in by the gates of this house kings sit upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. Now let me break this down for just a minute to you so that you can understand in clarity what the Father is saying to America. He begins to say, Jeremiah, go down to the house of the king of Judah, speak this word, and make him hear. In other words, have an anointing and an unction upon you and sincerity of words and speak this to them that if they would just do the right thing, I would promise them this. You ready? Verse 4. What is verse 4? It means this. It means I will give you succession of kings and succession of leaders who are just like David after my own heart, if you obey. Hang on here now. In America, we have prophecies flying around that we deserve a king, Cyrus, or we deserve some type of king of righteousness to dwell over this land to help us to become great again. My message today is straight and it's clear and it's a sure word of prophecy from the Father that if we were to abandon the wicked ways, we would be promised a succession of good leaders. But the problem with this prophecy is we have not abandoned the unrighteousness of our nation. We still sin. We still murder innocent babies. We still have plans for war. We are war lords. We are war demons. And we want to shed blood all across the nations of the world despite what you are promised in a campaign speech. We have too much armament, too far, and ready to go around the world. Trust me, if you don't know, you haven't been reading and understanding what's happening in geopolitics in the area of warfare in the nations. So verse 4 was a promise that we would have succession of good leadership. I'm here to tell everybody who has a hearing ear that we are not in line for a succession of good leaders. We don't qualify to have righteousness sit in the White House. We don't qualify for good days. We don't qualify for peace on earth. We don't qualify for not having war. We don't qualify for not having the judgment of God upon us. We do not qualify for great days ahead. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't mind being the odd guy out preaching, thus saith the Lord, because if I please my Father in heaven, that's all that matters to me, because I'd rather please God than try to please man. I don't know about you, but men frustrate me. People frustrate me. You try to do so much for them, and next thing you know, you get stabbed in the back. Has anybody ever been stabbed in the back? But you serve Jehovah God. His rewards are out of this earth. Woo! For this thing indeed, he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you kings. They're going to come in with chariots. They're going to be like David. They're going to be righteous. But I present to you, America, against this false Hananiah prophecy that has brought deception, has brought despair. It's brought all kinds of sorrow to watchmen because they believe this word. They believe a lie. I'm prophesying to you today to let you know the word of the Lord is we will not have a king of righteousness sit on the throne of this nation because we don't deserve it. Verse 5. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself. I had enough of that stinking jacket. I swear by myself. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. I told you this is going to be some of the strongest tones that I possibly can preach today. And he said it in the word this morning of the strongest of tones. He said, I swear by myself. What does that mean? Hebrews 6 verse 13, he told Abraham, I swear by no higher than myself, Abraham, that this will come to pass. What does that mean? It means this. You ready? Check this out. God says this. I lay my Godhead upon the table of betting. I lay my authority.
I lay my throne. I lay eternity. I lay forever upon the throne. I lay the keys of the kingdom. I lay my throne. Everything that I am as God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I lay upon the table of betting, and I prove to you that there is no way that I will turn my Godhead over to anybody. Therefore, what I said is a guaranteed fact. Now, it's going to fly in the face of a whole lot of preachers this morning. I hope you look good with a mud pack. Is anybody here? He said, I swear. Read it. I didn't write this. I didn't pick this. This is not in my Rolodex to preach to you on December, whatever day it is. I don't even know what day it is. I have no idea. I'm just caught up in God this morning. For thus saith the Lord. Go back to verse 5. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself. I promise you, America. I promise you, land of the serpent. I promise you and I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. These words are tingling in your ear today, but yet people will still reject this as a prophecy of God. And thus saith the Lord, but you mark my words, it will come to pass, because God could swear by no higher. And he's saying to America today, I promise you, your house will become desolate for the sin and degradation and for all the wickedness that you have produced upon this earth. Oh, I wish I wasn't the one to deliver such a message, and I wish you would carry him upon your shoulders, and we would parade and have fun together, and I would be promoted and have accolades, and all kinds of things would come my way. But I would rather preach this than the compromise with you on the way to destruction. Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord unto the king's house of Judah, thou art Gilead unto me in the head of Lebanon, yet surely I will make thee a wilderness and the cities which are not inhabited. What is he talking about? Gilead and Lebanon. Those were the beautiful places. They were rich in soil, and they produced all kinds of crops and all kinds of prosperity, and all kinds of blessings began to pop up. And if you look at the cedars of Lebanon, one of the strongest trees in the world, and how wonderful they are, and king's palaces were made with them. He says, America, you have been prosperous. You have been beautiful. There's no nation like you, but you've turned your back upon me, and now I will turn my back upon you. I swear it by no higher than myself. I'm telling you, I hope you hear these words with a clarion call, and you're not deceived and full of the venom of the world that's lying to you that everything is fine. Oh, I wish it was. I wish everything was beautiful today. I wish they weren't molesting children as I speak. I wish there wasn't the sex trade that's going on in this nation. I really wish babies were not being aborted. I really wish we're not trying to turn nations over and bring them into tyrannical type of order over their lives and bring people into subjection to this beast system. Oh, I wish things were wonderful as you are being told. But I'm sorry, I can't fit into that with you today. I can't walk with you in that understanding, not when the Father is speaking so plainly to you and I today. Verse 7, and I will prepare destroyers against thee. Listen to me now. He's talking to America today prophetically. I have prepared destroyers for you. Do you not understand that we still have an enemy that wants to destroy us? Do you not understand they've been going through our borders like a flood over the past so many years? Do you not understand that we have an enemy that wants to trip a nuclear weapon in this nation or a weapon of mass destruction? Do you not understand all of the warnings we've had from the prophets, from David Wilkerson and beyond, and from him to this day? We still have the threat over our lives, but yet we act like we've appeased God and everything's fine, and it's not. I'm sorry, I happen to have a good memory. Regardless of what my wife says, I have a sharp memory. Unless it's something I was supposed to do in the house. Because once you take that first sip of sweet tea, your memory's gone. I will prepare destroyers against thee. We have destroyers who are waiting to destroy us. They're waiting to flip the switch. They're waiting on the day of rage. And yet the church of Jesus Christ has gone to sleep and has waved the white flag and said, hey, it's okay. Come on out. Have your prayer closet. Come on out. Be like me. Get out in the open. Everything's fine. Let's dance in the dark. I'm sorry. I don't believe that has taken place in this nation. I do not believe that my enemies have tucked their tails and have ran. I do not believe that the devil has cowered down to a voting machine. I don't believe that. God says, I can swear by no higher. Your judgment is coming, America. And I will prepare destroyers against thee, every one with his weapons, and they shall cut down thy choice cedars and cast them into the fire. And many nations shall pass by this city, and they shall say every man to his neighbor, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this great city? And then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served. I believe there's coming a day when the nations will look upon this nation and say, what happened to you? What happened to your great cities? What happened? Did you not learn from 9/11? Did you not learn from the atrocities and the things that have taken place since that time? Have you not learned? And they will look and say, this great nation that had it all has now become disabled. And we are third world. Why? Say, preacher, why? The answer is there right in verse 9. You've forsaken God and you worship idols. You worship sports teams. You worship all kinds of materialism. And this is the month of the God of Mammon. This ain't the celebration of the birth of Jesus. This is a time to worship things. We've turned it into a den of thieves. You can't even drive on a weekend past some of these stores and storefronts and not see the crowds just in mass going into these stores. And just about everybody walking in there is broke. Just about every person. And the truth of the matter is most people right now in America couldn't put their hands on $1,000. 10 $100 bills. Is that right? Did I count straight? They may have been able to slide to get 10 of them. That's going to cost them another 100. I wish I had somebody here. And we call that prosperity. We call credit prosperity. Credit is not prosperity. Credit is an entrapment. Oh, don't give this to your local banker. I don't even want to go to the bank for this building, but I'm going to have to go to the bank for this building. But when I do, I already looked at them and I told them, and we said to them, we said, first of all, when we buy this building, there ain't going to be no penalty for paying it off early, right? They said, oh, no. I said, good, because we're going to pay it off early. Only reason why I got to go to banks, I couldn't find nobody to help me. But I got God on my side. I'm just going to be honest. Let's just be plain about it. I've made the petition. I've laid it out. I've done what God called me to do. Now, God's got to do it all. Say, what's that got to do with anything? It's got to do with everything because I'm worshiping God. I'm not worshiping mammon. I'm not worshiping the people who can get it to me. I'm not worshiping credit. I'm not worshiping the banks. I'm telling God, God, I'll live by faith. And that's what you should be doing right now. Now, I'm just going to say it. Can I just say it? Can you tolerate me for a little longer? That's half a crowd. That's pretty good. I already took up an offering, so whatever, go home. Listen, most people will go into debt for Christmas. For people they don't even like. And they don't like you. Flip that gift over. I promise you, made in China. That's China for you that live in Northeast Georgia. China. I ain't making fun of the Chinese. I mean, they make good stuff sometimes. I'm just saying. It's usually knockoff from what we do. But my point is, we're going to get into debt. We're going to get into the God of mammon to celebrate the birth of Jesus, quote unquote. And then we're going to be paying for it down the road. But here's my point. We're doing it because we think everything is fine in America. I'm telling you, you can feel it. You can see people, boy, they just slide. They're sliding, and, man, they're having a good old time because they think good times are right around the corner. I'm going to tell you, listen to this preacher. It is not going to be well with America. It's not going to be well with America. Verse 10, let me go on. Weep you not for the dead, neither but bemoan him, but weep sore for him that goeth away, for he shall return no more, nor for his native country. Here's the revelation the Holy Spirit gave me. He said, there's coming such a woe to America, such a great woe to America, that you're not going to have time and concern to even weep about the dead. You're going to be worried about your own self. That's bad. That's a bad day when you don't have time to mourn, when you don't have time to watch a funeral progression because you're just so caught up in what's going on in your life and what's happening to your world. You're more affected by that. And the second part of that is the American dream. It's going away, and it ain't going to come back. You think I'm kidding you? You think I'm kidding you today? I wish I was. Verse 11, for thus saith the Lord, touching Salem, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, which reigned instead of Josiah, his father, which went forth out of this place, he shall not return thither anymore. It's talking about leadership passing. But he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, and he shall see the land no more. In other words, the great promise of a great king and the great leadership will be no more because he's gone into captivity. Verse 13, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that uses his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him for his work. That saith the Lord, I will build me a wide house and large and chambers and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. In other words, he says, woe unto you that trust in false prosperity and you trust in money of the moment. You trust in what you have, the gold and the silver and all these things. You build a wider house thinking that will protect you and that will provide for you. That is America right now. Right now the stock market is nearing 20,000. There were some saying it could go to 21 or 22,000 possibly. These are record numbers. These numbers are insanity. And the same people who are lauding and applauding this great leap into the unknown are the ones that were telling us just a few months back before the election, it's all being manipulated, it's all being falsely brought up, and it's all being pumped up for the great fall. But now, because of an election, they're waving the white flag, and they're saying it's a time of victory. Don't worry about it. You can't have it both ways. Stick to the prophecy, stick to preaching, stick to the truth of what you know, and quit being somebody who goes back and forth, vacillating because of a popular opinion. I'm not vacillating one moment, haven't vacillated one service, haven't vacillated one word to this church or anybody listening to me. We are headed into bondage. We will get a queen for our leader in this nation. Let me go on. Shall thou reign because, listen to what he says here. Shall thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Are we going to reign because of the stock market? Are we going to reign because so-called jobs stayed back in America, which they really didn't if you find out the whole story? But we hear it and the churches just get, this is it. This is the Jubilee time, man. This is the time to praise God. This is the time. This is the time. Listen, I shudder to think what this harlot churches will look like with 4 years more of prosperity.
What will be next in the pulpit? What next will be authorized by the church as acceptable? I shudder to think what 4 more years of prosperity would do. Can you be my friend for just a little longer? Listen to it. Did not thy fathers eat and drink and do judgment and justice, and it was well with them? He judged, watch this, he judged the cause of the poor and needy, that it was well with him, and was not this known to me or to know me, saith the Lord? But thine eyes and thy heart are not but thy covetousness. In other words, you are selfish. It's all about you. It's all about greed. It's all about stocks. It's all about making money. It's all about 401ks. It's all about prosperity. It's all about building a new home. It's all about making America great. It's all about self. If you can't see America in this mirror, there's something wrong with your eyesight. You are spiritually disconnected to God if you can't see this today. That's a pretty hard word. You're dead. You are spiritually dead if you can't see the reality of what God is saying today. He says, you're full of covetousness, for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression and violence to do it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, ah, thy brother or thy sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, Lord, or all his glory. In other words, there's going to be no remorse over this nation losing its position of leadership by heaven. That's pretty strong. But America, you stuck your finger in the face of God for the last time. You trusted a man. God watched the church when the election flipped as though they thought it was in their victory. And man, church has been judged. We really found out who our family was, didn't we? Wave at me now. Wave at me if you're bleeding from the back. We really found out who our leaders were in high places in the church. We really found out how our prophecy people were whenever something laid their way and everything was good, good, good. But God says, I'm not even going to mourn. We're not even going to worry about the funeral. Why? Because they trusted in the cedars. They trusted in the financial gain. Michael Snyder wrote an article. You need to go to the Economic Collapse blog if you have an opportunity. But he wrote something there just recently that I found very amazing in an article. He said that the levels that we're currently seeing in the market are mirrors to 1929, the year 2000, and the year 2007. Did you hear what I just said? I didn't say some guy in some parents underneath their house in some den or basement. This is a tried and true man of God who knows his stuff. The stock market is at the same bubble levels of 1929, 2000, and 2007. Yet we're dancing in the dark. We're acting like everything's well and everything's fine. And God says, I've got an issue with you, America. Let me close this here, which doesn't mean a thing because I'm not finished. I'm just trying to get you to think you're okay and you made it out of the worst. I just gave you my introduction, really. I believe God cares enough to have us preach this message to those that can wake up and see this before it's too late. That's why I have no problem preaching this. But he says, we're not even going to worry about a funeral. Verse 19, he shall be buried with the burial of an ass. Let me get raw with you. Let me just get down to where you live. Let me just get down in the mud. God says that when this whole thing happens, when I bring down America, when I bring down those unrighteous preachers who are causing people to split hell wide open, there is not even going to be a formal funeral that is fit for an ass. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? That's pretty straight up, isn't it? I read that Lima Charlie. Roger that. Okie dokie, God, I got it. He said, we ain't even going to have no party. We're going to drag them out like an ass, and we're going to throw them outside the city gates. And I know this is going to fly in the face of so many greasy grace preachers, and so many people will be upset with me, but I'm telling you what God told me to tell you. He said, I swear by no higher than myself, I will judge America, and I will drag you out like a donkey and throw you out on the outside of the gate. Dancing in the dark. These guns are for hire. We don't understand this because we have been sold a plastic banana gospel. We've been lied to our preachers. We've been lied by those who preach another gospel and say, God ain't like this no more. No, Jesus stands and he makes intercession. No, Jesus stands and he tries to stop that mean old Jehovah of the Old Testament. Honey, Jehovah is Jesus's Father, and they are one. And God did not have schizophrenia between Old Testament and New Testament, folks. He's the same. He never changes. But what he did was gave us his son Jesus with grace and through his precious shed blood that we could be born again, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But he said, I'll still deal with nations. We forget to look into the book of Revelation and let's see whose eyes are full of fire. Let's see who has in his hands a rod of iron. Let's see who's going to judge the nations. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. It's Jesus who will deal with the wickedness of an unjust balance. He'll deal with the cries of the multiplied millions of babies and the blood that runs underneath our city sewers. He said, no, you're not going to have this beautiful funeral. It's not going to be like in a movie where we get out the cloth and we, oh, it's so sad to see them pass. No, it's not even worthy of a donkey. That's how far we've gone. Don't listen to your television stations. Don't listen to your favorite preachers who tell you you're just fine and we're just fine and we're all getting along together and we're going to metamorphosize into this wonderful lollipop sunshine land. What is it, chutes and ladders? What's that kid's game? Everything's just going to be beautiful and we just going to, man, this is it. This is your best time. I wish I were wrong, but I'm not wrong. And the multiplied thousands of people who listen to this message every single Sunday agree with me. America is going to hell in a handbasket. Verse 20, I'm closing. I got to quit lying. Verse 20. You got to tell me how much. Go up to Lebanon and cry. And lift up that voice in Bashan and cry from the passages, for all thy lovers are destroyed. You know why we don't care about God? We got too many lovers. We don't have to go to church, man. We just go out to eat and buffet our bodies. And we can buy new cars and new shoes and new stuff and satisfy ourselves and stroke our flesh. We don't need God. But he said, I'm going to destroy all your lovers. I speak unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou sayest, I will not hear. Did you hear what he did? I'm speaking to you in your prosperity. I'm sending a preacher from Livonia, Georgia. I'm sending preachers from all around America. I'm sending preachers from Africa. I'm sending preachers from everywhere telling you right in the midst of your prosperity, right in the midst of the greatest economic breakthrough it looks like in this nation, and I'm telling them right in your prosperity, it's going to be your downfall. This is why you got to have ears now. This is why you got to hear now. You need to send this to every one of your doubting Thomas family members that don't like me. Just get them a CD and put a picture of somebody they like on it. Forget the video. I don't know. Just find somebody. Or just say unknown. We don't know this guy. We have no idea who this is. He said, I spake unto you, you prosperous. I told you when you were prosperous. I warned you when you were prosperous. This is why Noah was telling him about rain when there was no rain. Because God always is a good God. And he tries to warn us in the midst of good times. Bad times are coming. But the problem is we become polluted. We become deluded. We become delusional and full of deception because we don't want to hear it. Where's the rain, Noah? Everything looks beautiful. Where's all the economic troubles there, preacher man? Everything's fine as far as I can see. When you don't understand that you can't do this to a just God, what are we going to give our children? My little girl, and my little boy, and your little grandson, what are we going to give them in the coming years? If God doesn't intervene, if Jesus doesn't split the eastern sky, if God doesn't wrap this whole thing up, we will go into the abyss. That's faster than you can think. This has been thy manner from thy youth. Listen to this. Tolerate me for a few more minutes. This has been but thy manner from the youth. This is America. We've been rebellious from our youth. Our history is not as glorious as many would say. Though I'm proud of many things, we have been rebellious that thou obeyest not my voice. 22, watch this. The wind shall eat up thy pastors, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely thou shalt be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. In other words, the Ruach of God, the breath of God, is going to breathe upon America. It's going to breathe upon the church. And if you're not rooted and you're not grounded in God, you'll be caught away and swept away with the breath of God. I encourage you to get rooted in God. Those that are listening to my voice, you call me your pastor, stay rooted and ignited. Stay rooted in the Word of God. Stay rooted in the Holy Spirit. And don't you go with every wind of doctrine because another man pulls up with a bigger building, more flash. Stay with God. Verse 23, O inhabitant of Lebanon that maketh thy nest in cedars, how gracious shall thy be when the pangs come upon thee as pangs of a woman in travail. In other words, there's no woman that looks beautiful at the time of birth. For some of you men that don't know what I'm talking about, they don't have Estee Lauder commercials in a birthing room. Cover girl, yeah, cover the girl. But there ain't no makeup going on. There ain't no photo shoot. The only shooting going on is her mouth. Telling you, I'll kill you. You get near me, I'll kill you and then kill you again. And if you ain't ever had a baby, you don't know whatever, you don't know word, you don't know what I'm talking about. You never been in there as a man. That's death row. I'm eating chips. I'm wondering what the problem is. You know, all I know, they're supposed to come out clean and wrapped up in swaddling clothes. Like an 80-year-old man dipped in 50-weight oil. Here. I'm not taking that home with me. You better do some cleaning. I didn't pay for that. Listen to what the Lord is saying here. I know I'm hitting you with humor, but swallow this big giant pill I'm fixing to give you. O inhabitants of Lebanon that maketh thy nests in cedars, How gracious shall thou be when the pangs come upon thee as the pain of a woman in travail? You ain't going to look like a Victoria's Secret model. By that point, there ain't no more secret. But we have this idiotic ideal that we're just going to coast through tribulation. We're going to coast through bad times. We're going to look good, and we're going to be just fine. And, oh, we ain't going to be like Venezuela. No way, man. We're America. We're not going to be like a third world country. We're not going to be like all these other nations of wreck and ruin because we're on the cedars of Lebanon. We're high and lifted up, man. And God says, you're being foolish. I want to see how you look in travail. I want to see how you look giving birth, because it ain't pretty, honey. I'm closing. I can tell your fangs are hanging out now. Verse 24, as I live, saith the Lord, though Caniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. He said this. This is one of my final indictments to America. Even though you are my authority, the signet ring is authority. It's the stamp. It's the approval. It's the seal of the king. Even though you are my authority to the nations of the world, even though you are the city set upon a hill, he said, I'm going to pluck thee from it. I'm going to take your place in your position of authority. Why? Why would God do that? You have to go back to verse 5. Because we disobeyed. The power that was given to this nation to become a leading nation, not in technology, not in military, but in humanity and compassion and righteousness, has fallen away. And now we promote homosexuality to the nations of the world, threatening them. We promote abortion. We tell Americans it's better for you to divorce if you're on welfare to gain more benefits than to try to make your marriage work and live holy. I'm closing verse 29 and verse 30 if you're wondering, if you're getting nervous. Verse 29, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. The whole earth. It's going to hear this word. The whole earth is going to hear the word of the fall of Babylon. The whole world is going to hear about America. When 9/11 took place, the whole world stood still. The whole world trembled. The whole world said, oh my God, America the great has been pierced. What's coming will be so much greater than that. The whole earth will know about God. Thus saith the Lord, write you this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his day, for no man, for his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David, ruling any more in Judah. Let me close with this understanding of verse 30. This king had 7 children, according to 1 Chronicles. Some say that they were adopted. Not one of the children sat upon that throne after his death. There was no righteous king from that lineage given to Israel because of the sin that Israel committed and the idolatry that they committed. And God said, I swear, I'll promise you, they're not going to have a righteous king rule over them. America, we are dancing in the dark. We are acting as though everything is just fine. We have preachers who are telling us all is well. We have people that are lying to us, from the President of the United States to our intelligence community to those who are talking heads on television on both sides of the aisle, and the prophetic community that is buying this prophetic lie. We have no idea that this house is on fire. The only thing I can tell you is to repent, to come closer to God, and get your house in order for the coming chaos that's coming to this nation. God has a plan. He's going to use the remnant in the last days. There is no doubt about that. But we're going to have to go through his judgment. Heavenly Father, I've delivered the word that you gave me. I bless everybody listening today. I bless everybody in Ignited Church. I thank you so much for everybody. And Father, I know this is a hard word. I know some are going to resist, but I believe the majority will embrace the reality that this is where we are. There's too much confirmation out there, Father. Your word confirms the facts that are before us. May we be ready. May we be ready as the remnant to serve you in a way that we never thought we could, because it's going to be a glorious movement of your spirit in the coming days. That's my hope, Father. I pray for all the watchmen listening to me right now. Stay on the wall. Speak the word of God in greater boldness. Don't you be afraid of no man. Father, bless your people with great faith. In Jesus' name, amen.